This is NHPR's From the Archives. I'm Andrew Perella. You know, archivists are all about anniversaries. We put a man on the moon 45 years ago. This week is also the 10th anniversary of Killington, Vermont officials meeting with New Hampshire Governor Craig Benson about plans for secession and perhaps throwing in with the Granite State. And a new attorney general was sworn in 10 years ago this week. And 5 years later, this same week, that AG resigned to explore a U.S. Senate run, which worked out pretty well for Kelly Ayotte. This week, I'm marking the 15th anniversary of the Meeting House readings in Canaan, a bit of a local tradition. Although, to put a finer point on it, I'm actually marking the 14th anniversary of the second annual Meeting House readings because that's the one that NHPR reporter Robbie Harris attended and filed this story about.
Well, it's no wonder I came back. I'm going to read the same thing I read last night.
That's recent National Book Critics Circle Award winner Michael Doris preparing to read to an overflow crowd at the old meeting house in Canaan. Doris and his wife, the writer Louise Erdrich, have just finished a new book that's to be published in May, and this is the first time it's being read in public. The Crown of Columbus is a novel in two voices set at Dartmouth College. It is an inquiry into a story crucial to the history of Native Americans, cultures from which both authors come. Also, it is an inquiry into the nature of love.
Love, if it exists, is a constant state, at rest and stable, the very antithesis of passion with which it is often confused. Love is solid, connected without fissure to the planet's core. Passion, on the other hand, is volatile, molten, ever ready to erupt and spill. It requires energy and attention and, in my experience, supports a brief half-life. From that, I've escaped, and gratefully, with the same disregard of repercussions as when, in each instance, I had initially pursued its obvious pleasures. Passion was a bell curve, or rather a series of them. When the mal de mer became too intense, a sane man sought dry land. A sane man was what I was not, what I had not been since the day Vivian Two-Star first pounded on the door of my study.
I think Vivian deserves a bit of a say here, after all. Thank you all for coming and even sitting on the floor. It's been very nice. All right, so this is Vivian. I belong to the lost tribe of mixed bloods, that hodgepodge amalgam of hue and cry that defies easy placement. When the DNA of my various ancestors, Irish and Coeur d'Alene and French and Navajo and God knows what else, combined to form me, the result was not some genteel, undecipherable puree that comes from a Cuisinart. You know what they say on the side of the Bisquick box under instructions for pancakes? Mix with fork, leave lumps. That was me. There are advantages to not being this or that. You have a million stories, one for every occasion, and in a way they're all lies, and in another way they're all true. When Indians say to me, "What are you?" I know exactly what they're asking and answer Coeur d'Alene. If a stranger on the street questions where Violet, the baby, gets her light brown hair and dark skin, I say the old sod and let them figure it out. There are times when I control who I'll be and times when I let other people decide. I'm not all anything, but I'm a little bit of a lot. My roots spread in every direction, and if I water one set of them more often than others, it's because they need it more. To the college, I'm a painless affirmative action. To Roger, I'm presentably exotic. To Nash, I'm too conventional. To Grandma, I'm too Anglo. To Violet, at least for now, I'm perfect. No wonder I enjoy her company. I've read learned anthropological papers written about people like me. We're called marginal, as if we exist anywhere but on the center of the page. Our territory is the place for asides, for explanatory notes, for editorial notation. We're parked on the bleachers, looking into the arena, never the main players, but there are advantages to peripheral vision. out beyond the normal.
Louise Erdrich is well known for her novels Love Medicine, The Beat Queen, and Tracks. Doris for his novel A Yellow Raft in Blue Water, and more recently for The Broken Cord, the account of their son's battle with fetal alcohol syndrome that won the NBCCA. They live in Cornish, not far from the old Canaan Meeting House, where these readings have become quite an event in town.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So grateful they came. It was wonderful. Just wonderful.
The 18th Century Meeting House is packed Thursday nights in July and August, largely owing to the ingenuity of writer and critic Bill Craig, a Canaan resident who figured out that he was living smack in the middle of a part of the state just full of talented writers. Somehow he's been able to attract a stable of top-notch writers, some with international reputations, to read free of charge before their neighbors and friends in Canaan.
I pray on their generosity. These are some of the finest people I've come in contact with in the literary world. I don't know why writers up here should be so neighborly, but they are. I think the idea of this non-academic, real community celebration of local literature appealed to folks, and they made themselves available despite the fact that their schedules are insane in some cases, that the usual emolument they might command for such a performance is way beyond our means. But they came, and I don't know, I hope we give them something back.
You see people that you've known for years, you see faces that you recognize, but you don't know who the people are. And there is a kind of common ground, I guess, that one feels sharing a place.
Authors Doris and Erdrich were the first to read at the second annual Meeting House series, others to be heard this summer on Thursday evenings from tonight through August the 23rd include Deborah Albury, Ernest Hebert, Tom Williams, Don Hall, Walter Wetherill, Mark Doty, Sidney Leah, Alan Lelchuk, Don Metz, Jane Kenyon, and Charles Simic. The readings are held in the old Canaan Meeting House in the center of town, beginning at 7:30. They are free and open to the public. In Canaan, this is Robbie Harris reporting.
Reports by Robbie Harris are made possible by a grant from the New Hampshire Humanities Council, a private nonprofit organization connecting people with ideas.